In 2000, there were 17 million Americans on food stamps. Today, it's about 46 million. But what happens when people on welfare are encouraged through common sense incentives to actually do a little work for their benefits? Well, there's an interesting case study out of the state of Maine that Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation will tell us about right now on Vocal Point. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb. Robert, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Sure. And tell us what happened in the state of Maine when it comes to welfare.
Well, there's one, the most rapidly growing group of food stamp recipients is a group called able-bodied adults without dependent children. These are adults between the ages of 19 and 50. They're not old. They're perfectly able. They're not disabled. They don't have any children to support. That group in the last few years has grown from 2 million individuals nationwide to 5 million, and they receive about $10 billion of benefits nationwide from the food stamp program. In the state of Maine, Governor LePage said that rather than just to give these individuals $200 a month in food stamp benefits, which is the normal policy, he noted that most business employers in the state of Maine had vacancies and were having a difficult time getting people to take jobs that were available. Their businesses were hurting because of a lack of workers. And so he said, look, what we want to do is, because almost all of these individuals without children who are getting food stamps were not employed. So he said, we want to aid these people, but we want to encourage them to get into the labor market and to take jobs so that, they will flourish and their need for taxpayer assistance will go down. As a result, he put out a policy that required all of these able-bodied adults without kids, who are primarily young adults in the 20 to 30 age range, to come to the welfare office and undertake training, or if that wasn't appropriate, to come down to the welfare office and do one day of community service work in exchange for 6 hours of community service work per week in exchange for their $200 a month of benefits from the taxpayer. In doing that, he was acting on the principle that 9 out of 10 Americans believe that an able-bodied adult who gets cash, food, or housing, or medical care from the government should be required to work or prepare for work as a condition for receiving aid. He was putting that general public conviction into reality. When he imposed this very modest work requirement on the more than 10,000 able-bodied adults getting food stamps in the state of Maine, the caseload immediately dropped by 80%. Even though they had all the training slots set up for these people, they put the money aside so they could give training, they created the community service slots, almost none of the recipients showed up for even a single day in order to qualify for these benefits. As a consequence, the caseload dropped almost immediately.
Amazing.
And now if you did that same thing nationwide using the same principle and you got the same result, which is would be very, very likely, that would push 4 million people off the caseload and save the taxpayers about $10 billion a year. That comes to about $100 for each taxpaying family in the United States. Governor LePage operated on the principle that we need to assist people who need assistance, but just giving a free handout is harmful both to the recipient and to the taxpayer. Therefore, we should give aid, but we should expect constructive behavior back in return. We've found in the past that whenever we do that, the number of people who are interested in receiving aid goes down dramatically. That's what happened in the welfare reform actions 20 years ago under Bill Clinton. And
because of a GOP House and Senate.
Absolutely, because of a GOP House. The problem with that reform was...
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Only,
not Senate. Go ahead.
Yeah. It only... it only altered one out of 80 welfare programs. Food stamps really weren't touched much. Housing wasn't touched. Medicaid wasn't touched. And even in the program that was reformed 20 years ago called Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, those work requirements have been whittled away to virtually nothing. This was the principle that Ronald Reagan used as his core philosophy of welfare. He understood that if you give people something for nothing, you give them something for free, people will take it even though they don't necessarily need it. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means if you give people free goods or free money, they'll take it. Putting a work requirement on welfare helps you to separate out those that truly need the aid from those who do not. We know a lot about this population of able-bodied non-parents on food stamps. For example, half of them are regular cigarette smokers, and they spend about $110 a month smoking cigarettes. Then they rely on the taxpayers to provide them $200 a month in food stamps so they can feed themselves. That doesn't seem exactly fair or reasonable. We also need to understand that this is a very, very good anti-fraud mechanism. In food stamps, as in all other welfare programs, the largest fraud occurs by people hiding their earnings from the welfare office. In food stamps, as in any welfare program, the more earnings you have, the lower your benefits will be. If a person hides his earnings by working off the books or not telling the welfare office about the job that he has, he's able to double dip, getting the full food stamp benefit while also getting full employment from a job. Putting a work requirement onto it, even if it's one day a week, will cause almost all the people with hidden jobs to drop off the rolls because they can't be two places at once. They can't be at the welfare office and at the unreported job at the same time. Therefore, you get a massive reduction in fraud and a greater fairness out of the system just by having a very simple work requirement in place.
That's fascinating. Robert Rector, whom we're talking with right now, joined with Rachel Sheffield. Together, they wrote this article called Maine Required Childless Adults to Work to Get Food Stamps. Here's what happened. And what happened was, again, the recipients, the number of recipients or would-be recipients plummeted by 80%. Heritage.org for more information to read this. Now, I'm sure the Governor LePage of Maine received a lot of flack for trying to implement this in the first place. Oh, he's heartless. What actually happened?
I'm not sure. This is a very well-crafted policy. So if you're being honest about it, it's very difficult even for the most liberal individuals to object to it. He didn't cut anybody off.
Right.
He said, look, we want you to come down here and do some training, and we went to a lot of work to open up all these slots for you and so forth. And the individuals had other things to do. It's very, very difficult to determine how that's unfair. In fact, our polling shows that 85% of Democratic voters agree with the principle that Governor LePage was articulating, that able-bodied adults who get welfare benefits ought to work or prepare for work as a condition for getting aid. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very common sense provision. It allows you to focus limited resources on the people that really need it. It allows you to prod those people who are falling into habits of dependence into greater efforts to help themselves, which is only to their benefit in the long term.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sitting around on the food stamp program for month after month or year after year really doesn't look that good on the job resume. And so you want to help these people to join the economy when jobs are available, mm-hmm. and to begin to succeed in life. If jobs aren't available, we want to have a safety net there. And that's what Governor LePage provides. But we're just not going to give a whole ton of people something for nothing without asking anything in return. We wouldn't do that to our own children. And we shouldn't do it to anybody else. It's not fair to the taxpayer. It's not fair or good to the recipient.
Sure. And by the way, can you speak closer into the mm-hmm. phone there? I appreciate that. The percentage or the amount of money that the federal government spends on welfare. And by the way, I mean, you point out in your article that over 90% of food stamp funding comes from the federal government. So we all have a vested interest in this, you know, regardless of this particular example in Maine. It's about $1 trillion a year, I understand. Can you elaborate?
That's right. The federal government runs over 80 different programs providing cash, food, housing, and medical care to poor and low-income people. Those include food stamps, the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is a cash welfare program, public housing, Section 8 housing, Medicaid, the state health program, Obamacare, school lunch and school breakfast subsidies. These programs just go on and on and on. And we spend an enormous amount of money. If you just took just the cash, food, and housing benefits that are provided, there's more than twice as much money there as would be needed to eliminate all poverty in the United States. And no one, it's a hidden welfare state. Everybody sort of understands and knows that Medicare and Social Security for the elderly are quite large programs. What they don't know is that for every dollar we spend on those programs for the elderly, we are in fact spending 75 cents on aid to the poor. And we don't know about this because the spending is always discussed one program at a time, which makes it appear very, very tiny. And it's like looking at a jigsaw puzzle where you only look at one piece at a time. Well, you're obviously not going to perceive what the picture is about. We have an extremely large welfare entitlement system that some of it goes to disabled people, but a lot of it goes to, for example, single parents with children. Almost none of the programs have meaningful work requirements. All of the programs have penalties to penalize parents when they get married and encourage thereby single parenthood and non-marital childbearing. It's a bad set of programs. Unfortunately, the Republican Party, having done welfare reform on one of those programs 20 years ago, basically told its political base that it had ended welfare and has turned around and ignored the welfare state for close to two decades now.
You were mentioning marriage and how some of these programs provide disincentive to being married. Why is that a problem?
Well,
for the sake of the children, for the sake of society.
Absolutely, for the sake of the children. Children are dramatically better off when they have a married father in the household. And being married is the number one way to remove children from being poor. Obviously, having two incomes in the household is, you're going to be better off than if you have one. Most of these fathers are employed. They earn more than the mothers. But for close to five decades, the welfare state has basically displaced the father and has said, look, if you're married to a working man, we're going to cut your welfare benefits dramatically. On the other hand, if he's not around or if you're hiding him and pretending he's not there, then we're going to give you a lot of welfare. And as a result of that, the percentage of births that are to women who are not married, the percentage of non-marital births, has risen from 7% when Lyndon Johnson launched the war on poverty 50 years ago to over 41% today. And almost all of those non-marital births are occurring to less educated, more disadvantaged mothers. Our society overall is sort of splitting into two castes, with children in the top half of our economic system being raised by married couples with college education. Children in the bottom half of our society are being raised by single mothers with a high school degree or less. The welfare state sustains that and encourages it and pushes it forward.
Oh, that's so awful. So, you know, one thing about this whole thing, if the governor of Maine had said, you must get a job or we're going to, you know, cut off your benefits, that would be one thing, because there are some situations where some people are virtually unemployable. But to say that you got to at least do 6 hours of community service, you know, once a week to receive these benefits, that's not unreasonable. And I would like to see this replicated in other states. Is there any chance of that?
I don't think there's much chance that other states will do this on their own, because as you noted, food stamps is 70% federally funded. So Governor LaPage.
Well, your article says 90%.
I meant 90%.
Yeah.
You're right. Thank
Sorry.
You for correcting
me. 90%.
And so Governor LaPage is undertaking a heroic policy change for moral purposes. I don't expect very many states will follow that. This is a federal program. It's federally funded. So what you need is a federal work requirement modeled on the Maine example that would save the taxpayers, as I said, about $10 billion a year.
Wow. Robert Rechner, thanks so much for being with us. Everybody's got to read this article. Maine required childless adults to work to get food stamps. Here's what happened, by Robert Rechner and Rachel Sheffield. Heritage.org for more information. Thank you so much, Robert, for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.